Hi, everybody.
Hello, and welcome to an episode.
Ryan, I really hate to do this live on air, but I'm going to have to call you in for an HR mediation here.
Blaze, can you vouch for me?
No, I can't. You're on your own on this one.
we've heard a lot of complaints from female employees. Yeah, from female employees at this company that you have been talking over women a lot and displaying a lot of misogynistic behaviors. I just wanted to talk about this.
The most over people here would be you, not me.
Oh, I see how it is. Blame the woman for everything I do now, right?
Hang on a minute.
Hang on a second.
I'm just blaming the loud person. Blaze is fine.
I'm the woman in the room, and I'm not loud at all. What are you on about?
Wait, you're the woman in the room?
Yeah, I'm the woman. I've given myself that title. And fuck you.
I'm free now. I'm not loud anymore.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stargate Oversight. This is a... Oh, fuck, my microphone just fucking fell. That's cool. This is a combination of hosts that we have not done before.
Yes, it'll be fine.
Our mystical Kitsune leader, known as Hope Fioral, has decided to bugger off to the US for a couple of weeks and left us in charge.
Leader?
She's on dome leave, so the idiots are running the asylum. And speaking of asylums, we can talk about Christo-fascism today, I guess.
I thought you were going to say, speaking of the idiots, Ryan, how are you today? Or something like that.
Why would I ever do that to my dear beloved friend, Ryan?
Oh, it'd be funny.
Because a true friend would call their friend an idiot.
Anyway. My dear, sweet, beloved friend, Ryan, how on earth could I ever hurt you like that?
I hope he left for a second.
Literally for 1 second, maintenance went, no.
Oh.
We today are covering an episode of Stargate that's like... I feel like this episode sort of happened because... the writers were like, hey, we haven't done Christianity yet, I guess.
Can we show how Christianity is kind of evil? Can we?
I mean, what? I don't know if that was the intent. I feel like I feel like they were just like, what if Christianity was one of these? And then they sort of just kind of worked back from there and were kind of not really sure what they were doing.
We want to cover Christianity, but we don't want to do it in the modern days because people will throw a hissy fit. So let's put it in the Middle Ages instead.
Well, no, that's kind of like the whole thing is like each of these like civilizations that the Gwald have captured are just humans from different points in time. And I really do feel like it's just the point of like, oh, we haven't done this one yet. We should probably do it.
Everyone needs to be put into the SG-1 blender and given a story.
But before we go into that, we should probably introduce ourselves. Hi, everybody. I am your wonderful host, Arctisha Frost, who is sometimes actually here, and my pronouns are she and her.
Hello there. I'm Ryan. I exist here sometimes. My pronouns are he and him. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Blaze. I'm usually just a guest on here, but due to Hope's absence, I am now considered an unofficial official member of the team, and my pronouns are she and her, or, well, she and it, I guess.
I guess.
So, basically at this point between my absences and Hope's absences, you are basically the substitute teacher that we have for this podcast.
Yes, I'm the unofficial official fourth member.
Yeah, you show up to the podcast, the audience size is yet another week, Blaze pulls out the textbook, starts writing some stuff on the whiteboard, and says, here's everything you have to do, shut the fuck up and don't bother me.
I'm going on my phone. Leave me the fuck alone. I'm going into VR chat. You do what you need to.
Pulls out the flask of whiskey.
I'm just imagining now, just like, oh god. Oh god, you are the like weird teacher that the conservatives are like fear-mongering about. You're just straight up going into VR chat in the middle of the classroom and just hitting on like 10 out of 10 smoke shows, and all of the kids are like, Ms. Blaze, please stop doing this.
I'm the one that's got like the half goth sort of outfit on with the boots and the tartan skirt, but I've got frizzy hair and jam jar glasses on, and I've clearly got a few screws loose.
Oh damn, I would have wanted to fuck you so bad as a student. Anyway, welcome to Stargate.
I'm so glad to be back.
Oh, I love you too,
welcome back, Ryan.
So glad to be here.
I feel like because Hope's not here, I have to fill her gap. So.
Nope.
I had thought better of myself about making a joke there, and then Ryan, you had to interject, and now...
I wasn't even intending to make a joke, but in reality...
Shut up. I'm opening a fucking can to deal with this shit. sweet release from pain. Right, Stargate.
Yeah, Stargate. So, this episode starts with a ha-ha, hoo-hoo, hee-hee, funny lampshading joke.
It's all green!
Oh, wow, that's so crazy! Why is every planet we go to Vancouver Forest Quarry in Wales?
And there should just be a fucking, like, for sale sign on the side that just says Vancouver for sale for filming rights or some shit like that.
But they, like, they don't, like, hide it or cover it up, but they do, like, change it in each episode. So it's, like, Vancouver, insert, like, name of different, like, constellation here.
They're just filming the same patch of forest from a different angle at a different time of day, just so it's out.
Yeah, welcome to. Yeah, this episode was set in Vancouver, Milky Way galaxy. This one is set in Vancouver Andromeda, Vancouver Horsehead Nebula.
Vancouver, the edge of the universe.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like
the edge of the universe is just Montreal.
Yeah, edge of the universe, Montreal, Quebec.
Well, they speak weird language. They hate everyone and they're mean to you for no reason. That's right, Montreal, fucking Quebecers. Oh, that fucking you Quebecoisie in your fake French. It's not even French. I'm coming for you.
All right.
Have you heard the Montreal French? It's bad. It doesn't sound like French at all.
If the Quebec government is listening right now, you guys have significantly better trans health care than we do. I'm making an official thing here. I'm not endorsing any of these opinions about the Quebecois people.
You have to learn French. You're not allowed to literally do anything.
You can't wear the... Go
on. I mean, that's not actually true. Like,
they made a law. They actually made a law.
I mean, like, they will not let you go there unless you speak French. But, like, if you're in, like, from what I've heard, if you're in, like, actual Montreal, most people, in fact, will be speaking English. It's like the other cities in Quebec where...
It's one of those things where people always speak in English, but like the actual like Quebec,
but, like, the Quebec government is like, no, stop doing this, please. Yeah. We're French. We speak French. Like, we're very serious about this.
When French people hear you speak French, they actually go, what? They actually don't understand what you're saying because you're not speaking French.
What? No. Okay, let's be clear here. It is the French. So we absolutely know they understand completely the Quebecois French perfectly, but they're just the French, so they refuse to acknowledge it.
Yeah, but that makes it even funnier.
I feel like the situation when we have like a European French person and like a Quebecois person, we're dealing not with like, haha, which one of these people is like the cool and based one. It's like an Alien versus Predator situation. whoever wins, we lose.
It'll be the Quebecer speaking in French, and then the French person in English going, "I'm sorry, I don't understand you."
Yes, the deep hatred goes so far. You've made a French person willing to speak English
just to be a Predator. Oh my god. Right, so they're walking through the forest, and they say that, oh yeah, the UAV saw a structure over there 11 clicks away, and the Jack just goes, oh fuck, I have to walk.
Yeah, we were about to bomb them, but we realized it wasn't a Yemeni wedding, it was a Christian settlement,
It's not that kind of drone yet, we're not in the Obama administration.
Friendly brother to missile inbound.
Democracy coming through. But Jack realizes he has to walk, and because he's part of the Air Force, he really isn't used to walking. You know, he's used to having a cushy ride everywhere and then flying. So I have to walk, huh?
Well, why would you say that? But, like, they are the Air Force, but I can think of one episode off the top of my head they do anything Air Force.
I don't think I've seen them, like...
The season finale of... Where Hathor returned is like the one time we've ever seen them do anything Air Force.
I get it's cheaper to like not flying planes all the time, but then why make them the Air Force?
Yeah, you picked them to be the Air Force. Well, I mean, I guess like with like the writers of the show, they're kind of stuck with what the writers of the movie did, but.
I suppose if you label yourself as Air Force, you get specific benefits without actually having to do anything. About that.
Yeah, you get the good kitchen. You get the good kitchen.
Yeah, it's actually.
Seriously, the Air Force dinners are kind of nuts.
Yeah, you get the Air Force grant if you self-identify as part of the Air Force, which is why they do this.
You get the good kitchen. You get fiber internet. You get.
Lost all of that when Cheyenne Mountain became part of the Space Force.
Yeah, now they're reduced to fucking eating pre-packaged fucking meals, and the highlight of the week is the microwave lasagna.
No, they all have to eat that, like rehydrated stuff. And they're like, we're not even in space right now, why can't we eat normal food?
You're gonna get used to it! Can I have some ice cream? You can have a dehydrated ice cream sandwich.
Okay, I'm not going to look this up because I don't actually care enough, but have the Space Force ever actually been into space?
No!
Like, even just like, all right, boys, let's get you some, like, I don't know, low orbit.
Like the simulations.
Fuck no. Like, it isn't even like a fucking like question. It's like, no.
Damn, this would be like if the Air Force never flew. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, that would be.
No, they've never flown. They just identify as being in the Air Force, and their pronouns are Apache helicopter.
You know what would have been really funny, considering they're a mountain base? If they made them part of the Navy as a joke.
So far inland, they're part of the Navy.
Far inland, their base is a mountain. You are in the Navy.
Wait, their base is in a mountain, but it always feels like the entrance is in a valley.
Don't question it. Like, it's
the base. We talked about this previously, like on the podcast, but like Cheyenne Mountain, real military installation base. In this show, they can like show certain like canned like shots of the front of the base, but like whenever characters have to be shown entering it, they're always like in a hole in the middle of the woods because they're not actually allowed to film in there.
Yeah.
All restricted footage. We can't show that.
Yeah. So it's like
it's where the real like, it's where the real of the front, Stargate.
A middle of the forest, and then just like the set that they're actually filming on.
It's where the real Stargate is held. You know, they can't actually show you it.
Exactly. So So they see tracks that indicate people are regularly coming to and from this gate, and they're like,
People?
Well, something at least.
Well, and then, or something.
And yeah, Jack and Carter at this point make some like really fucking weird faces.
Well, he does like a Dr. Evil like fucking face. It's weird.
Actually, Austin Powers is now canon SG-1 because Jack O'Neill knows what Dr. Evil does with that little finger. I don't know. I'll go with that one.
I'm not going anywhere with that.
Oh, no. No, that actually... fuck, that movie's out now, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is why I thought it was. I thought it was.
That movie is actually out at this point. Yeah, fuck. God damn it. That horrible just shit movie.
Okay, there's some deep-seated hatred. I haven't watched that film in like 10 years. I cannot remember what it's like.
It's not funny. It's has every fucking kind of bigotry you can possibly imagine in it.
Well, that's why it was funny to people back then.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was the movie. It was the movie that helped a generation of children bully minorities at school.
Yeah, so it's funny.
No, it's downright hilarious for them.
Yeah, I haven't seen that film since, like, I don't know. I don't think I ever actually watched it. So
I think I fucking did.
I think like the made for TV time is when I might have seen it.
Yeah.
But yeah, moving on from
Mike Myers' crimes can never be forgiven. But
moving on from a terrible movie that we don't really need to mention anymore.
Yeah, so what they see in the distance when they follow these tracks is the world's blurriest church.
I need to look back at this now.
Yeah, they're like, can you please turn the depth of field slider down?
Do you know what you also see? You see a really weirdly CGI'd lizard for no reason.
Wait, what?
Yeah, in the foreground on the rock, there's a little six-legged lizard.
And it's like, it's really badly CGI'd and it's there for no reason.
No. Proving that this isn't, in fact, Earth. This is another planet, and this is how we show it.
Why couldn't they just put, like, a little guy on there? Or just, like, a prop or something? Why does it have to be a CGI lizard?
Did you say little guy?
Yeah.
God, is this a reference to a YouTube channel you're making now?
No. Okay, no, I'm just like, put a little lizard on there.
I wish to correct myself. It's 10 legs, not 6.
Oh, I'm sorry. Still, yeah, there's just like a random fucking lizard, and it's like, it distracted me quite a bit because I'm just like, why is there just this bad CGI lizard? And then it moved on, and it's never brought up again. And I'm like, okay,
but they're trying to like theorize about how the Gould work, and like, are they pretending to be God here? And then they try and do like a little bit of a hoo hoo ha ha by being like, well, I have read the Bible and God is supposedly so benevolent and nice and the world would not be like that. Have you not read the Bible, no, good American man?
I don't think it's so much that God is benevolent and nice. It's I have read the Bible and the things that it says that their God did is fucking ridiculous. There's no way that...
Specifically, Teok says that that the Bible describes like your God as being like all-loving and no Gould could possibly ever pretend to do that.
I don't remember that.
He does! That's literally what he says.
I watched it about half an hour ago. I don't remember that.
But yeah, Tiago's like, you, Mr. American Man, you claim to be from a Christian country, and yet you've never read the Bible. Curious.
I do kind of like the whole, like, have you not read the Bible, Jack? And he's like, shut up.
Yeah. Tiago yelling, everyone point at this American, this fake Christian American.
The thing is, though, they're probably making a joke about how the majority of American Christians haven't read the Bible.
I mean, exactly. It is definitely a joke about that.
Well, I mean, they have read the Bible, but they've read their heavily amended version.
No, they haven't. No, absolutely not. Most of them have not even read that.
Yeah. I've read the Bible more than Christians have because I was like, well, I might as well see what it's about. I read it. I went, funny pictures, funny story, and then stopped reading.
They read the footnotes that someone told them about that they never actually looked at, and that was it.
I mean, like, maybe, the real hardcore Christians go to church and have, a priest, confirm their bigotries and then go home.
When I was, 13, I went, fuck it, I'm going to read the Bible just to, see what it actually says. And I was like, why do people become bigots after reading this? It's all about, how if you do anything bad, God will kill you. And then the other part of it is be nice to everyone. How does work?
A large part of it is simply large swaths of believers have probably, firstly, not read the book. But a lot of people can easily be swayed by people in positions of power who can find and cherry pick. Like, the Bible is a long enough text that you can you can find something there to cherry pick whatever insane shit that you believe to justify it as being what God wants.
Yeah, it's picking apart a sentence that means something good and then shaping it into your view, the way you want to view it.
Yeah, this is when I was a teenager, reading it and going, huh, that's weird.
Often cherry-picking through a book that's also a badly translated version of a badly translated version of a badly translated...
It's gone through a few rounds of Chinese whispers along the way as
exactly.
well.
Yeah.
But speaking,
it's been through late antiquity and medieval sort of equivalent of filtering it through all of the languages and Google Translate with low confidence.
It's literally they hired a fucking translator on Fiverr and then didn't actually check any of it. I'm sure that's correct.
Yeah, sure. Seems good.
But yeah, so we're back with our crew, and they're finally at the village, and it's literally just a medieval church village. It's literally just a fucking Renaissance. What's it called? Ren Faire. It's like a Ren Faire almost.
Everyone there, they get one glimpse of an American, and they're get inside right now.
Get inside. We are not dealing with this shit.
Fair. You see an American with a gun walking into their town. It's like,
seeing an American with a gun walking into a religious building has never been a good thing to see.
Walking into a religious school building? No. That's bad. But yeah, it's like, yes, I can understand why they would be scared if they knew what the guns were, but they don't know what the guns were.
I mean, to be fair, by the point of, medieval times, while you specifically wouldn't know what a gun is, these are, guys who have come from the Stargate. They are menacingly pointing on carrying something, which looks probably weapon-y.
And they've come from
you could probably figure out, I don't know what that thing is, but it's probably used to kill me.
That looks weapony. I don't like it.
And if they've, obviously, if they've seen something similar kill one of theirs already, then yes. They're going to go,
crossbows exist. That's close. That's, vaguely close enough that you could probably figure out,
Crossbows was a thing at this point, yeah, I don't think.
Crossbow is just a gun made of wood.
No, a gun made of wood is a gun made of wood.
Yeah, a gun made of wood is something you use to fucking get Magneto.
Oh yeah, it's the plastic weaponry and the wood and stuff, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But so, yeah, so they're walking through the lovely, lovely little church town that doesn't look at all like there might be some corruption going on. Definitely not, couldn't be. And everyone is afraid of them and hides.
My favorite part is they come across some writing, and it's it's very clearly just regular English where they've changed a few letters with Y's. It's not even Middle English in the slightest.
It's Middle English in such that they took out the middle of the letters.
Yeah, and Jack is oh no, my American brain couldn't possibly comprehend this.
I do like the fucking. Something I enjoyed about this episode, to me specifically, was just the random bullshit Latin chants in the background every now and again throughout the whole thing.
quickly, it's not religious enough. Let's get some chanting going so everyone can hear the religion.
Yeah, the American brain couldn't possibly comprehend that if you drive around this church repeatedly in circles for 80 hours, you'll still be in this church. Daniel is like, let me translate this for you. Let me speak in Middle English that the sign was clearly not actually written and that we didn't actually write it in. But
let me speak this British English tablet, since your American English brain can't seem to understand what it's saying.
It says, can I get a number nine?
It says, transgender, not welcome here.
I mean, Middle Ages, never.
It's British English. And Daniel looks at it and goes, oh, fuck, we're in Britain.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so, oh no, it's a Daily Mail article.
Oh no, it's a poorly researched and badly written article with multiple spelling mistakes. It can only keep from one place.
Button.
My god, Jack, it's the Telegraph.
little joys when I was younger because certain websites were banned, like, you know, from like school websites and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What you would do is if you were like bored, you would go, okay, let's see how ridiculous the Daily Mail is today. And you go and have a look and see what was on there. And it's just like the most banal rage bait shit. And then occasionally like, look at this cake. And then like, right, yeah. Like, look at this cake.
Look at the Colton post about these cats.
Yeah, no, it's like 15 like of the most racist things that you've ever seen.
And then there will also be one
Core,
picture of
can
some...
you have a look? Core, have you seen this picture of this actress's tits?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. There will be a random woman with tits, or it'll be a random woman who's had plastic surgery, who is clearly not in her right mind, who has like gone so far, like, you know, on it, who probably needs some help. And it'll be like, look at this crazy bitch. Look at this. And it's like, okay.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, co-authored by Boris Johnson, exactly. So, we see a sight that's probably all too familiar for Blaze here, though, in the village.
Excuse me.
And that's a woman that's chained up.
God, I wish that was me.
Yeah, no, you had nothing to come back with from that.
No, they pictured my predicament quite perfectly, to be honest with you. But anyway, there's time and place for this, and this isn't it. Let's move on. Ryan's in the room, and I can hear him hovering over the leave button.
I wouldn't leave, I just sigh.
So, she is chained up, and a boy named Simon arrives. Our boy. And he's like, please, I beg you, sir, please spare her. Please do not, Mr. Demon Man, please do not kill her.
Please, No, my brain's not going there.
Please, Mr. Demon Man. And that's the end of it?
Please do not sacrifice this lady to Satan, please do not sacrifice it to Satan. And then
what are they talking about?
Yeah. What are they talking about? And then Daniel has to helpfully go,
so calm.
Now I'm no expert here, but I think these people are talking about Satan. From the Bible.
Yeah. Or it could be Sokar, you know, it's the same difference.
And then everyone is like, wait, hold on. You mean Satan? From, like, the Bible?
From the Bible? The critically acclaimed book of all religion on Earth? Most.
Well, here's the thing, is, like, they're all like, wow, damn, the Bible. And like we've like previously established kind of what Sokar's deal is, but it's not until like they see the Urnas later on that they're like, oh, it might be a gold guy. It's like, yeah, no, of course it was the whole time. What do you mean?
It's always a gold. Like, also, you see the also looking at the picture on the gravestone, it literally is just an Urnas. Like, it's literally just an Urnas on the gravestone.
But yeah, so they release they release this woman from her chains, and we learn that her name is Mary.
They mentioned it was Goa Uld crap before they even got to the village.
I know, and then they forget, they I guess. And then they I guess.
I guess walking 11 kilometers through Vancouver does that to you.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's probably not very walkable there. Like, they had to do all of the carts because they had to, like, keep ordering, like, several taxis and getting a bunch of carts to try and navigate through Canada. Yeah.
It's fine. All right.
It's fine.
So, we discover that this poor... Okay, I keep saying woman, but, like, they keep making it very unclear with the way they refer to her whether or not she's supposed to be an adult woman or a child.
I think she's a woman. I think
she is a young woman. She looks like a young woman.
Like maybe 20.
But like the way they talk about her later on in the episode is like she's like 13. And it's, like, very odd.
It's relatively the only woman they're talking about. They may just be they might just consider all women young to them. So...
Yeah, it's just weird. But she has... she has chicken pox. She has chicken pox,
and the response for chicken pox.
We have to execute her immediately. Yeah.
Oh, this woman is ill. Sacrifice her to the demons, so we don't have to deal with it. The medical costs are too high.
We need to get the evil out of her head. It's like it's chicken pox. Like, okay.
Also, you go first.
This is where I immediately, at that point already, was like, oh god, they don't understand what the medieval period actually was like, do they?
Yeah, I was about to lead directly into that, and they're like, well, they call it the Dark Ages for a reason. And it's like, yeah, but not that reason. It's not called the Dark Ages because everything was shit and bad. It's called the Dark Ages because of... After the burning of the Library of Alexandria and the falling of the Roman Empire, a bunch of knowledge and literature and books were lost, and shit had to be rediscovered for like hundreds of years, and there was huge blank gaps of knowledge that people had to rediscover. That's why it's called the Dark Ages.
And also, I think there was like one historian specifically who just like really didn't like that period of history, so started like fucking like making up lies about it, if I remember. I'm not kidding. I think there was something like that happened.
Yeah, that sounds like the historical profession from like my little bit of time that I was at university. Just like an entire like field of historical study derailed by like one guy's bugbears, and then like so many historians now have to dedicate their entire careers just undoing that shit.
It's one of those things where once something like that gets into like the public consciousness,
zeitgeist,
doesn't fucking leave. And then like once like media starts incorporating it, like, you know, the Dark Ages became such a thing in like fantasy like media and things, and it's like you can't get rid of it.
I mean, like, shit definitely sucked for a medieval peasant, but like
In terms of like what they knew and the access, the medical knowledge they had, they actually had quite a lot of it, they just weren't using it for the average person.
Mm-hmm.
Like today! Oh god, that's depressing.
Our boy shows up.
Mr. Priest number one.
Not yet.
No, yeah, huh? No, different.
It's the Unas shows up.
The Unas Anus.
Oh, here. Sorry. That,
yes.
That, yeah.
And at this point,
can I just say when Jack just looks at it and goes, "We killed it," and I'm like, "Jack, no, you're not going to say what I think you're going to say, are you?" Because God damn, that's so dumb.
Yeah, he says it. He does say it. He goes, "Unas." Well, listen here. I took a little bit of high school Spanish.
Unas is one, so.
It's like, did you seriously think the original host of the Gould meant there was one ancient Gould that had, like, a body that was stronger than all other Gould, and that was the only one? Really?
Ah, but Sokar, have you considered Donde está la biblioteca?
What?
Well,
I think she was
Ryan, I'm as lost as you.
Tialk at this point is like, the Unas is actually a species, not just one guy? And then it's like, could you not have told us that before?
You never asked.
I mean, we don't get like the you never asked this time. It is kind of an implied but, it is clearly one of those things that the writers use as like a get out of jail when they like change their mind later on in a way of being like, huh, that's really crazy. Tao should have probably told them about this earlier. They're like, whoops, I guess he forgot.
I think the writers just went, we want to make a joke about Uno. That was the extent of this like thinking. But yeah, so Jack's an idiot again, because that's what happens.
And they're like, hey, do you think this might be related to the Gould that we already mentioned earlier in this episode that it obviously is?
That we obviously forgot about in the process?
Yeah, we have like hit our heads like up between like talking about the Gould and walking to the church. But yeah, I fucking love this bit of this, just this fucking lizard dude being like, "Yes, I am here for Satan. Give me the souls." And I'm like, man, I want this guy's job. Where do you go to like get hired to be the person who just screams in public that I'm here to collect your soul on behalf of Satan?
Just walk. No one hires you. That's you. That's your own initiative. You have to show your own will and drive to become that person.
I want to get paid for this.
Get a portable speaker. Go be who you want to be.
You don't get hired. You shout at them enough in that voice until they just go, you know what? Fine, you're in. Go.
Oh yeah, that's like Tisha. She sits on the street corner every Sunday shouting out, "He's here to take our souls." Sometimes she sings a little tune. You know, it's
yeah, unfortunately our local sect of like demon worshippers refused to take me in because they were like, "We admire your dedication and passion, however we feel like your work is severely undermined by the fact that when anyone ever does come up and talk to you actually start like talking about your various weird niche special interests instead of the whole like Satan sacrifice stuff."
And then once you leave, they're like, "Yeah, she's just even a bit weird for us, actually."
You know? Yeah, what the fuck is an Ace Combat?
Why is she talking about the fucking like weird like triangles? I don't know, something triangle.
But yeah,
what the fuck is a Yakuza?
Like a dragon?
Yeah, they like figure out, oh, this is probably Sokar. But our lizardy boy is like, you have until sunrise to select five of your least favorite boys and girls and NBs. They're very inclusive here. It's quite nice. otherwise, I will come back and I will take more. And yeah, no, you know, it would be really bad if I was like the canon in charge here, because I would be like, listen, I know you said that we had until sunrise to pick, but I like really struggle to pick and I have like executive dysfunction. So I'm just going to be real, bestie. Just like take some, I guess. Just like, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
Just take these ones. They're not useful to us.
Look, it was really hard to pick five, so just go ahead, do what you want, I guess. Just, it's fine.
Hopefully some visitors will show up from the outside realm so that we can use them instead.
But yeah, so they try and explain to Simon what the deal is here, which is constantly being undermined by Daniel, who can't help but be like a weird semantics like nerd, and be like every time they're trying to explain that this is not what Nunes is and how this is not a demon, and how Sokar is also not a demon, Daniel just keeps like tipping his fedora and being like, well, actually, to these people, if you really think about it, functionally, there is very little difference between a
Jack
demon.
Basically just goes, can you fucking stop? We're trying to convince them they're not demons. And you keep going, well, we might as well be, Jack. We might as well be. He's like, can you fucking stop, Daniel?
Yeah, hey, Daniel, could you like not for once in your life?
Daniel, could you stop interjecting your views into this situation and just shut?
Just like that guy who was like, well, actually.
Yeah, he's a Redditor. We've established this before.
Daniel Jackson Reddit mod. He's a Reddit mod of r/history. It's just like...
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's been like really mad ever since the r/gold subreddit got quarantined, and he keeps writing posts about it.
Jesus Christ! I just got what you mean. Oh man, yeah, it's a Daniel's very much in the I am the guy who explained shit mode this episode, and like it's like, please stop.
Oh, yeah, he must have been like in like early BBS systems and Usenet groups. This must have been the most insufferable guy ever.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care about your weird petty arguments about historical accuracy. I just want a download for Ultima 2.
Fucking Ultima 2. Wow, that's a blast. Like there's a lot, and like Ultima 2 is like, wow.
That was
anyway,
a choice. Moving on.
Yeah, so listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to kill it somehow, even though we needed Thor's hammer to kill it first. And then you bury the gate, which always works. I mean, to be fair, like...
No.
This is... What? Sorry, you go on.
When they say Thor's hammer, do they literally mean Thor's hammer like Mjolnir? Are they
talking about... Oh, okay, so there was a previous episode of the show. Yeah. So there's a race called the Asgard who are, like, another alien group who, like, pretend to be, like, super cool and strong and able to defeat the Gwald. Yeah. But their whole thing is that mostly just full of shit and
I don't think they're full of shit. I think they're dealing with something else right now.
Well, they are, but also, like, they are significantly less strong than they pretend that they are.
Oh, yeah,
And also because of, well, Thor's hammer being gone, they are very significantly less strong than they used to be.
I think it's like, as far as, I don't know, we don't know everything about the Asgard yet, but I think it's basically, they are the actual little grey men. Like, straight up, their model is like the tiny grey alien.
But yeah, they are the little grey men that pretend to be like Odin and Thor, and they had like the special, like, weapon, which is like a sort of you get teleported to a dungeon, and then at the end of it is like a nether portal that kills you if you're a Gwald. And they killed the first UNAS using it, but then they had to blow it up, otherwise Teal'c could never leave.
Yeah, because it basically just locks in Gould, and because Teal'c has a Gould in his gut, he literally couldn't leave. Just straight up.
Well, and if you try to go through it as a Gould, it fucking immediately obliterates you, so...
Yeah.
So they had to destroy it to let Teal'c out, and the Asgard got really mad at them about it.
Yeah, but we need the God of War with us.
Yeah,
now, how else are they going to defeat you down the line?
We need Kratos with us. So they're like... Also, yeah, I want to point out that that's what it took to kill him before. To kill one of them before, I mean. We'll get there, but sure.
Sure.
We hear the sound of the priest, the monk units from Age of Empires coming to Woolaloo, your like settlement.
Oh, the cannon is here.
World's most evil looking priest is here to determine who should be sacrificed, who is evil. And immediately, of course, when our Stargate crew comes out, they're like, yeah, okay, they're evil.
Oh, they're new and we don't understand them and they look weird, so clearly they're demons.
We get the bad optics.
React, honestly.
We get the bad optics moment once again from this television show where the writers weren't thinking, most likely.
That's just kind of human, though. Look at them, they're different and weird. They must
I mean specifically the point the canon immediately goes, ah yes, there is one of you I can tell is definitely an evil sinful demon.
Oh god, I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
straight to the one black guy in the group.
It's literally said every time. You've got like this fucking like white angry looking priest of like chins out like down to his chest, and he's like, you're the evil one, and it's like
they do this every fucking time.
Fuck, this is the
and
most,
I'm
like,
certain every hired, time and I'm certain every time that they time. Didn't realize that what they're doing.
Oh, it is the most obvious. This is like the era of no one even thinks about racism in this way in this era at all.
Well, like, white people do not think about racism.
White show writers who are all white people don't think about racism this way in this era. It's literally, we have hired a guy to play the alien, and he has the alien mark on him. Therefore, everyone's going to know he's the guy, and therefore they're all going to single him out.
Also, he's the only black member of our cast, single black guy
on the show, and he's constantly going to be put out as other in every fucking episode. It's
it gets worse very soon, but we'll get there. So they're trying to like explain to the canon, like they did to Simon, that Satan isn't real and it's just this lizard dude called Nunes. And immediately the canon reveals that he picked up like the Zeus lightning pickup from like a chest nearby, and he sort of just launches himself into the air, zaps all of them, and then does like an Orange Justice dance on them.
Fuck off.
I'm sorry, I've been playing Fortnite recently.
Why have you been playing Fortnite?
I got addicted for some reason to Fortnite.
Oh, what? Thank you very much, Ross. Yeah, I now have the cannon in my head doing the default dance.
All I've got in my head now is Teal'c fucking dabbing. Oh man.
But yeah, they get blocked. Basically, he has a magic gold ring thing on him and he like presses it and it blasts them with a like stun lightning.
It literally summons like God's wrath, essentially.
It's like the lightning that doesn't kill you.
Yeah, it's specifically the lightning that gives you a slight owie.
It's a 9-volt lightning, that's all it is.
Yeah. So they wake up and they're caged.
Not that way. And,
a dream for us all.
And they're like, hey, sir, I think we're unarmed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I kind of grasped that.
What do we do? We don't have guns.
Also, Tiag isn't here. I wonder where he could be.
Oh, the guy in the back is wearing pants. Sorry, the guy's pants in the background of that scene looks like his flesh color. And I was so confused.
It's just a guy dick out in the background.
Just wearing a loincloth. Sorry.
But yeah, so we find out where Tiag is. And this is another part where I'm like, oh my god, the writers were not thinking about what they were doing here.
I ask that question a lot. I don't think the writers ever really think about what they're doing.
Because they have a bunch of people in Christian priest robes nailing a black man onto a cross and grabbing some flames.
I'm going to say that this isn't as bad because it's just what they would do to witches and evil people, but like the fact that they only do it to the one dude.
Yeah, and also it's like, are they intentionally trying to make this look like a fucking KKK lynching? Like, holy shit, what?
No, they're trying to make it look like a...
Well, they're not. They're definitely not, but it's like, again, you've done this to the one black person in the entire cast.
This is them, like, doing, like, this is, like, quite common.
Well, I know what they're doing. I know they're doing, like, the witchcraft, because they do, like, the whole fucking floating thing after this, but, like...
I mean, this was quite common around this era as well, this kind of, like, fantasy thing, to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but again, I feel like it's another case of, oh my fucking god. Could one person on the writing staff be like, hang on a sec. Hang on a sec. So yeah, we're gonna do a test. He has that weird mark on his head, and if he doesn't feel any pain when we, like, put a brand against, like, cattle brand against it, then we will know he is the demon.
And they do it, and he doesn't take any pain.
It's like, damn, Tiag, you could have at least, like, went, ow, ouchie, owie.
Ooh, owie, like, daddy, harder.
No place. But unfortunately, yes. Tiag is too much of, like, a red pill Sigma male stoic to be able to do that, so...
Oh, what's that fucking music that the Russian dude, like, animation of the guy walking? Like, I can imagine that meme, that music playing, and it's just
Yeah. So they're like, ah, a demon! We must go to, like, the second test.
And we must cleanse him of his sin.
And they're just straight up, like, trying to, like, they're trying to do this, like, whole, like, if he floats thing seriously. But, like, this, like, even if you're trying to earnestly portray this in any kind of media now, the idea of, like, the witch floating has forever been fucking ruined by the one bit from Monty Python the Holy Grail that is just, it is impossible to take this seriously in the slightest. My god, I can't believe the reveal that, in fact, all Jafar are made of wood.
No.
Yeah, so they're
like,
doing
the reveal is they fucking drown Tiag.
Well, yeah, they do the thing where it's like, if he can, we attach the rock to him, and if he drowns, he's not a witch. He will die still, but, we'll be very sad about it.
He's innocent, but he dies. But if he floats, he's a witch and he will be killed.
Yeah, basically, if you are innocent, you die, but we will be sad about it. So, Tiag does not float.
He fucking drowns.
Oh, yeah. He fucking... just, like, fucking sinks, like, so hard, and then they're all just, like, eagerly anticipating, like, something to happen. It's like, well, he's dead.
And then it's like, did we just kill Teal'c? It's like, yeah, I guess so.
Again, like, unfortunately, this is, like, a problem with, like, sort of, like, serialized shows like this, in which, like, well, okay, this would have worked on me as a child if I had watched it back then, because I would have been like, no! But, like, with, like, fucking, serialized shows like this, you can never kill a main character, like, in this kind of show.
For Judge, like, and Teal'c. He ain't dying.
You cannot kill a main character in this kind of show. It's very obvious he's not there.
If they do, it would be a season ender. Not
it would, yeah. I mean, it would practically be a fucking show ender, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're all like, yeah, oopsie, we're so sorry. We're so sorry that we murdered your friend.
Oopsie whoopsie, Mr. O'Neill. We didn't mean to kill your friend.
Yeah, we'll give him a Christian burial, which, didn't ask if we wanted, wanted that, but of course we assume that.
We forced him into our religion. Okay, yep. Thanks, bye.
Also, don't ever come back here ever again. Bye. Also, we also learn about the ring.
The ring?
Yeah.
The ring.
The one ring.
My power comes from this ring. Generations of cannons passed this ring down to me, and it is for me to decide who shall be destroyed to save us all. It's like, wow, damn, I think this guy might be the bad guy in this episode.
Is he the bad guy? He might be the bad guy.
He can't be a bad guy. He's the priest who controls the town. He has to be a good guy.
Yeah, since when have priests ever been bad guys, right?
Controlling, manipulative priests. No, nothing wrong with that at all.
So, Simon, I'm so sorry that your friend is dead. Oopsie. But you can't blame the canon for this, because he is neurodivergent and a minor, so it would actually be kind of problematic if you did. You better get going now.
Psych.
They're all basically just about to leave, and then they're like, oh, by the way, that girl Mary from earlier, we're about to, like, drill into her skull so hard right now. We're about to, like, trepan the shit out of her right now.
We couldn't sacrifice her to Satan, so instead we're just going to lobotomize her.
Well, do you know what trepanning is, Blaze?
No.
Okay, do it. Essentially, they cut, like, almost like a triangle out of your skull.
Oh.
They don't actually touch the... Well, they probably do touch the brain by accident. But they don't actually touch the brain. It was meant to be a way to, like, either get yourself closer to spirits or, like, release things from your head.
To release the bad from your brain.
And
yes.
It wasn't invented in Europe. It was a... I can't remember what part of the world it was. But it was, like, it wasn't a Western thing originally. The funny thing is, when trepanning was done in the other parts of the world where it was originating from, people didn't usually die from it. They usually lived, and in fact the skull could heal over.
And also because of, you know, certain conditions involve, you know, certain pressure or fluids in the brain.
Sometimes it actually worked. But do you know why it worked and it didn't kill them, and it did kill people all the time in Europe when they did it? Do you know the difference?
Yeah, because never trust a white boy with a drill.
That's part of it. The other part was in Europe, they used metal tools that they kept reusing without washing.
Oh, of course they did. Fucking course they did.
Because
that's our favorite.
We have our tools. We don't need to use anything.
The original method was to use bits of, like, obsidian or stuff and coconut milk to wash out the thing. Coconut milk is sterile. Obsidian would be used once, and then it would be thrown away and then use another piece on the next person. So it was literally sterile.
No, of course it was just us reusing the same rusty nail over and over again on people.
I can't remember if it was coconut milk, but it was basically like washed out with something and it was used once, the tool. Whereas we used the rusty fucking drill bit and whatever all time. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a lot of parts of the world had way more advanced surgical practices. Sometimes it was just because of the shit you had access to. Like, hey, you have fucking cocaine. Guess what? You can do dental surgeries hundreds of years before we could.
Yeah.
Anyway, this episode is sponsored by the Cocaine Information Board. Do cocaine
and cocaine accessories.
So yeah, we can't allow Tiag's death to be nothing. For nothing, we gotta save this white woman.
So if we don't do anything, Tiag dies for nothing.
Yeah, Tiag would have wanted us to save this white woman.
He wakes up and just goes, I said no such thing.
Why are you saving the white woman, O'Neill?
Will woman be silent?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've already seen what Tiag's using women.
I am really imagining the fucking I am really imagining the fucking Dr. Livesey music, what? Like dun, dun, with woman be silent and just Teal walking away. Yeah, there we go. That's it. I was waiting for that. That's what I was waiting for. Oh, there we go.
Your presence in the home of my wife is greatly appreciated.
I was wondering if you had that access to that or not.
I made that, of course I do. So yeah, they're about to do the big pokey on her.
The big pokey.
The big pokey.
But they say, hey, they run in. Daniel runs in on time and goes, hey, have you considered not doing it? Actually,
have you considered maybe just not doing that and thinking about doing something else instead?
And they don't. But yeah, like, come on.
Daniel is a master of persuasion. Okay, well, we won't do that now. What shall we do instead?
Come to the gate with us. They'll show you. There are no demons. And we start to get, like, interspersed sort of cut shots with, Tiag's body being prepared for a funeral. And meanwhile, the rest of SG-1 arrives, and, like, the tiny little delay that they did to, like, try at least give Simon some doubt about this was enough for Mary's fever just to be completely gone. Now she's fine.
I noticed that all of her face pops and that are just gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
Makeup artist just forgot to put them on. So they decided, oh, hey, you're healed.
Yeah, it's all good now, thank God. Yeah, really, literally, in fact. I don't know what they were going for. Well, they sort of tell her there's no demon and all that sort of stuff. But they ask Simon if he has any keys to unlock their chains, and he doesn't know what a key is.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't know what that was supposed to mean.
None of these houses have locks.
They had invented locks and keys at this point.
They'd invented locks and keys long before this point.
Yes, yes, I know, that's what I'm saying, but like, he doesn't know what a key is.
To keep the people even more downtrodden, they removed their knowledge of keys?
Yeah, and specifically only keys.
And only the not fucking head mage, no, not head mage, fucking head man. would be allowed to know what keys are.
Yeah, we took we let them keep their knowledge of locks, but not their knowledge of keys.
They know you're locked, but they have no idea how to get you out. Like, every night, if they want to go home, they have to smash their door down with a hammer. It's like, what? I don't fucking get it.
I mean, like, most people's, like, random just homes, like, in a settlement, probably just didn't have a lock. But, like...
Oh, no, we've accidentally locked our house. The only way in is with a hammer now.
We have to smash the door down, use the wood from it as the firewood, and then make a new door.
Because it turns out, like, when you're just living in, like, a normal little settlement, where most of your threat is just people from the outside coming in and demanding shit from you, the people that you fear are not the people that you live with. You actually probably have a very strong sense of community with them, don't really need that much to, like, protect your home from the people around you.
I wish I could live in a life like that, because currently I don't trust my next door neighbor, but that's not for this podcast. Anyway.
But yeah, Tiaoc is Jesus.
He's not, though, because Jesus rose from the dead and everyone considers him a saint, but Tiaoc comes back from the dead and he's considered to be Satan.
Yeah, but that's because he's an alien. Yeah.
Yes.
And no, totally not because of the colour of his skin, I mean, no.
Yeah, I can't believe Europeans thought Jesus was white. Hey, I mean...
What do you mean he's not a middle-aged white American dude with amazing locks of hair and a beard? Wow. Never would have known.
I mean, he could have had amazing locks of hair and a beard. He just definitely wasn't white.
No, he wasn't.
Well, obviously, because he was the perfect son of God, being born in occupied Jerusalem, very clearly he would have magically just become white, just as we all know God is white, so.
Oh.
All faces of religion, all the bigger faces are all white. Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to say anything right now. Being the white male on this podcast, I'm just gonna let you talk.
Ryan's just gonna check out from this one.
I'm not gonna get in trouble. I'm not gonna.
Oh yeah, this is the episode that gets me in trouble. But
only you.
Yeah, it's the meme of like the shield and the cloak, except the genders are reversed this time, and it's like me protecting Ryan by being the one that gets cancelled for all of this.
It's like the Superman meme where you look back and go, no, stay there, and then fucking fucking John Kent dies.
Yeah, I've done my heroic sacrifice, so this white boy may live. Yeah, so bad news. So, Tiago's awakened, and now they all think he's evil because of it. They explain that he went into, fucking forgot what it's called, but it's like the, we go into, like, fucking Vampire the Masquerade torpor, because we're hurt too much.
Yeah.
And, like, his symbiote used the oxygen in the water to keep him alive. So it's like, oh, okay. I mean, that works, I guess. That's a reasonable sort of sci-fi alien explanation as any, I guess, for that. But, like, yeah, of course, they're immediately like, the guy that we thought was a demon has come back, so of course he actually is a demon. At this point, I'd be like, please contact your lawyer, legal defender, please ACLU representative.
Please contact your local demon, and they will...
No, because, you know, just, like, find a lawyer, Tiaoc. I mean, they already previously ruled you as not a demon, so I feel like we could use this.
Double jeopardy?
Yeah. You're the fucking double.
You see, my client can't be a demon because you already tried him as a demon and found him not to be a demon. Therefore, Your Honor, that this man must be an angel. Like,
this man must be literally Jesus. Yeah.
There's no other explanation.
So, not only is Teal'c going to be killed again this time, all of you are going to be killed, and also so will Mary.
Oh, well. She had a long life. 21.
Yeah, she 18? Had a nice long life. 15, 18? Yeah.
18? 15? Not sure.
Nice, nice long life. Age, nice middle age of 15, yep. Probably had three, you know, nice middle age of 15, had have five kids who are all grown up now. Had a good long life.
All grown up, all older than her somehow.
Yeah, so next morning, Simon is like creeping around while they're all chained up again. Like, hey, buddy, could you like do something?
No.
No, I'm getting off on the idea of y'all being chained up helplessly.
Yeah, I have to ask, do you picture yourself as a demon when you masturbate?
No, but Christianity does.
the Gould-controlled medieval GIC. Yeah, if you don't actually pass the requirements to be seen as a valid transsexual, we will sacrifice you to SOCAR. I mean, that practically is NHS policy already, but...
It is, yes. If you don't pass, you're just going to get sacrificed and never be seen again.
Yeah, so... our friendly local neighborhood, Unas, shows up again.
And doesn't Teal'c's head with the big old, you know, symbol of Ra is just there. And I was watching the scene waiting for him to comment, and he didn't.
Look, the Unas is minimum wage worker. He's just like, I am doing exactly what my job requires of me and nothing else.
I'm not paid enough for this shit.
Exactly.
I do like how Jack's just like, so, how you doing, buddy? How's
how
it going?
You doing, bitch boy? How are you doing, you little fucking... pretending to be a demon, are we?
You get all the chicks, eh? That's a real life of the episode. I didn't make that up.
Yeah, he does say that, and rightfully gets his ass beat for that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. Slightly. A little bit.
I don't know. If you're like giant lizard man captor and you're like, hey, how's it going, bitch boy? And then you're like, huh, I can't believe he beat me up. How could I have seen this coming?
I can't believe the creature that is literally an ancient beast of rage and power beat me up. Wow. It's crazy. Am I right, dudes?
Jack's constant tactic.
Jack just can't help himself. Yeah, Jack's constant tactic of like back-sassing anyone who captures him, which I'm going to be real with you, bestie. You have a near 100% failure rate with this tactic.
Yeah, the thing is, he has a near 100% failure rate and then always ends up winning. It's like, so what he's nice.
Yeah, it's like confirmation bias.
Never learn his lesson. It always works.
Eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just not, he's still not learned. It's not, that's not the thing that works. Yeah, it's actually plot convenient. It's the power of realizing that we only have about 10 to 15 minutes of runtime left to work with. I mean, that is like, that is definitely like
Jack knows the runtime of the show. And he's like, oh, we got about 10 minutes left. All right, time to be a dick.
Yeah, we got 10 minutes to go. Writers are running out of room here. Think we got a pretty good answer.
Like Jack just goes, I can do what I want, and I won't say suffer any consequences. Now, time to be a dick.
Yeah, and then suddenly someone Sam whispers in his ear, Jack, hey, This is a two-parter season finale. Oh fuck!
Oh fuck!
Wait, you mean I could actually die?
Yeah, so
I thought this was a mid-season pointless filler episode.
Honestly, the way they get away from Una sort of drags them away in a chain gun. You can do this. You can have the pleasure, my friend.
So, for the first time in history of this entire planet's life, no one, not one of them, has thought, "Hey, why don't we just jump down this hill?" Because Unas is fucking dragging them along by the chain, all of them just look and realize they're on like the most comfortable hill to roll down ever, and then decide, "What if we just? Surely this alien can't hold all of our weight rolling at once." And I mean, it probably could based on what it does later. But anyway, they jump down.
He's probably not expecting them to just roll.
They just literally roll down the hill, and then they. Unas just goes, "Whoa!" And then
Also, it's the most like gentle like hill possibly imaginable, but it's enough.
Like the softest grass.
But it's enough for the Unas to be like, "Huh, how the fuck am I gonna walk down there?"
I mean,
I guess I have to walk around. It's like
he's giving them time to tire themselves out. So when he finally reaches them, they're not going to be able to get
away. But like, I'm like, dude, you can so easily just walk down this hill right now.
You can just slide down the hill. You're an ancient alien based on regeneration.
I cannot comprehend the concept of a small hill.
Like, what are you going to get? A graze that'll heal in 0.2 seconds? Like, just go down the hill.
they immediately like just start rushing into like the forest.
And then they just kind of get caught.
Before they get caught, Simon is like sassing the cannon, and he's like, "You do not ask me questions. I am evil.
If you ask questions, you'll be sacrificed next.
If you ask questions, I'll eat you for dinner."
So...
Where do you think I got all my chins from?
So we go back to our friends in the forest, and they've been caught.
Yeah, obviously.
And they sort of, like, get, hooked to a nearby tree.
Can we just say that this could have been avoided if Jack had actually thought about it for a second and picked up the end of the chain that was dragging behind?
Like, he literally has a god... It looks like something that an American would think a ninja warrior would use. Like, it's a mole ninja weapon. Like, it's on a chain. Like, you'd feel like you could fling it around and throw it. You know what I mean? It's like...
Luckily for them, Simon arrives with all of their stuff.
He
must have ran so fucking quickly to get there.
He's very athletic for an impoverished peasant, I'll be honest.
carrying an entire bag of Air Force military gear.
Especially an impoverished peasant who spends most of his time reading. Quite athletic for that.
Quite athletic for someone who's clearly not done any exercise before.
That's a good point. Like you say that, the average sort of like medieval peasant has to do a lot of intensive labor. However,
Simon is
I was specifically going to make out the point in this episode. We saw like no evidence of like farming. Or, like, what anyone here does.
Yeah. In my head, Simon is, like, you know, like a priest kind of man, and he spends all his time doing the reading and the healing based on how he's dressed. But I don't know.
He's the monk. That's exactly what
it seems like. Everyone sits in their house all day and does nothing.
Wait a minute. A planet where you don't have to pay rent. You get a house, you don't have to do a job, and all you have to do is sacrifice someone you don't like. Sign me up! I'm fucking up! Did I ever?
I can't believe this isn't actually an allegory for living in Stalinist Russia.
Fucking modern day UK. Fucking hell.
not going there.
What do you mean modern day UK? Modern day UK is we sacrifice you to the demons. You don't get a house. You don't get any food. You get nothing from this deal.
You don't pass go.
But we see what I get. You see, the reason that we agreed to this is because, like, a government minister got, like, promised, like, a ham sandwich and, like, a...
Like an
all-inclusive stay in Ibis promise.
Excuse me, that ham sandwich had mayonnaise on it, okay? It wasn't just a regular ham sandwich.
Yeah, and
there was the implication there might be cheese. There wasn't! But there was an implication.
Yeah, yeah. If you like, listeners out there, if you're like looking to set up illicit operations or money laundering scheme anywhere, any of those kind of things, and you need like a politician to bribe, we live in the country with like the world's easiest to bribe politicians.
My rent's going up. £40.
They will never barter with you. They will never try to haggle. They will take the first a bribe offer given to them immediately.
It feels like it's a goddamn, like, it feels like they roll the wisdom check and they have a minus 10. It's like,
it's just the dudes in this country really want to feel important. And getting a bribe is a way to feel important.
Hey, person that could literally, like, change the world for the better in any way. Yes! If I gave you, like, I don't know, here's 20 quid, can you make it so that I just get a fucking, like, little monthly stipend of, like, 10 grand? Sure. Oh, okay. That was easy.
If only it was that easy. God, we'd all be so...
It is if you're the right person. That's the problem.
Yeah, you have to be... Unfortunately, you do have to be Matt Hancock's pub landlord.
I'm going to come up to him with 20 quid and go, hey, if I give you 20 quid, can I have this much a month? And just see if he takes it.
Well, he can't... He's got nothing to give you. He doesn't have any of the government money to give you anymore.
Yeah, but he might still be delusional to think he does and still agree with it.
I don't know, maybe he still has some of that I'm a celebrity, get me out of here money to sort of... Yeah, so... yeah, we should probably finish this episode of the show.
We should probably finish off before we keep going on every tangent possible.
Yeah, so... they're like, hey, Simon... Can you go grab that star for us and shoot this guy?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Shoot it. You know, shoot it. Stop staring. Shoot
okay,
it.
Again. Yes, it's still walking towards you. Again. No, Simon. Simon?
Okay, to be fair to Simon, like, he has never seen this weapon before. He's seen it shot once, and I don't know. This dude figures out how to use it remarkably quickly.
No, I'm not saying that's the way they're talking. The way they're talking to him is very much like, oi, dumbass.
Yeah, he like figures this shit out like remarkably quickly.
I mean, it is Jack that's talking to him. To be fair, Jack is all brawn, no brain. So,
but I will say what's funny is he shoots it like four times, and it's like I don't care.
Three specifically. It's three specifically.
I don't care, and then he just whacks Simon away and goes after him. And this is the part that when I first saw this, I'm sitting there going, why are they doing this? Because I can't remember which one of them. But one of them picks up the star first. And they pass it down the line. Like,
Mary's like reaching for the staff, and she's like just sort of like going, I'm trying to get it. But to like build the tension, and just immediately gets it like perfectly fine. But
then what I'm saying is she passes it to either Carter or Jack, and they don't just turn and shoot the thing, they pass it down the whole line, wasting about 20 seconds to shoot the thing. And I'm like, why would you do that?
Because it's Teox, it's his. This is his personal property. But like,
we're not allowed to use it on Eco.
Well, that's the thing. Is like every time, and like so many times in this situation, is like whenever they have access to one of these weapons, they're like, no, Teox uses these. We use gun. I am American, and I can only fathom using a gun.
Oh, don't wait long, Jack. You'll get your chance.
Yeah, I'd like your son. Anyway,
Oh, no. How long? How many episodes about to mention?
So, Yeah, they managed to get free, and Simon is like running through the woods. Daniel and Carter go to take Mary back to the gate, while Jack and Tiak are gonna go like, let's go rescue Simon. Somehow the cannon teleports into the forest now.
Yeah, like, Simon's running around there in Vancouver Forest, and the cannon knows exactly where he is.
Yeah, and he's, of course, he's lecturing him because you shouldn't have shot the green goo out of the boy.
yeah, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't have shot him. Didn't do any good.
Yeah, then the UNAS shows up and is like, your god has abandoned you, boy!
I am... Wait, if your god's abandoned you, aren't you kind of the... Wait, I'm... Huh?
What?
But yeah, Simon is like, no, I have the power of Jesus and anime on my side or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, the rest of SG-1 arrives and, like, oh, Eunice is just dead, I guess.
Eunice is just dead, and everyone's... Simon's out cold, and the cannon's now cowering.
Yeah, so they all go back to the gate. It's the end of the episode. Everything is all good now. All is right. The cannon is very nice and suspiciously quite friendly with them now.
He's like the nicest bloke in the world. Out of nowhere. It's... I'm like, huh? How much runtime does this episode have? Oh, like
yeah, nothing. Oh, look, so they're like, so they're like, hey, Cannon, you're suspiciously very nice right now, and okay. so this is tried and true American military strategy.
Carter remembers she can fucking sense Goulds for this like 5 second part of this episode.
Yeah, being so like, this dude's a Gould now.
Oh, I can sense Gould signatures, and the one is right in this man's belly. Kill him.
Definitely.
Yeah, gun him down immediately right in front of Simon.
He pulls out the fucking My Two World Wars, yeah. My Freedom gun, and fucking just annihilates this man.
In front of Simon, who just has no way of understanding anything that just happened.
It's literally like, what was that stick of death you just pulled out and fucking, like, killed him with?
Just immediately just executed him. And like, yeah, episode's over, don't worry about it.
Episode's over, go home. Well, I have questions about the go home.
So yeah, that was that episode of Stargate. I kind of do want to, because we have been riffing a lot, and I feel like we do kind of riff a lot on these episodes. I do want to, like, say that at least, I mean, I can't speak for all of you, but I do genuinely enjoy watching this show, but...
Yeah.
These, like, riffs, these, like, piss takes that we make, they come from a place of love. We do enjoy the show that we are watching.
I wouldn't be watching the rest of it if I wasn't at least somewhat enjoying it.
I just feel like there is just, like, at least one listener out there who has randomly just downloaded this episode and no other episode of the show before and is, like, seething that we've made jokes about their favorite, like, special interest TV show.
You know you like something when you can look at the flaws and you can lightheartedly joke about it. But still come back for more.
Actually, let's be clear, the person who gets angry at this show is the person who is like, when this episode comes out on YouTube, goes pronouns.
We're not in a Discord call, so I can't use the pronoun soundboard.
No.
Fucking pronouns!
Pronouns!
Imagine if that guy, like, really enjoyed listening to our show and somehow, like, hadn't heard, like, all of the pronoun, like, checks up until this point.
Yeah, that would be the most ridiculous thing ever, and I would love to. I'd probably love to see that because we get a new video out of it, but, like...
If you are watching this episode, thank you for following Stargate Oversight, and please continue being a loyal fan. Thank you.
Yeah, well, what I have to say about... bald pronoun screaming man is could transition have saved her? Anyway, we have been Stargate Oversight.
And we've had a blast of a time.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to say. I am somewhat delirious right now.
Delirious, delusional, and completely out of it.
Yeah. So, do any of you have any closing thoughts before we tell the listener to lovingly fuck off as usual?
No, I'm just going to tell our listeners to go fuck themselves and leave.
Oh, all right then. for those of you out there... actually, there is one little housekeeping thing I should have mentioned. Because of issues that members of this podcast were having and scheduling conflicts, this month's bonus episode should have been the next Evangelion movie. I'm very sorry that hasn't happened, but that will be coming next month.
Deal with it.
Now we can tell you to fuck off.
Yeah, no. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. But please go and do anything else. We're leaving.
By the way, I'm Ryan. Hi.
Well, Ryan's not leaving. You know he lives in your phone, but the rest of us...
I don't leave. Sorry.
Bye.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.